The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
We've used artificial intelligence to design a Coke drink, a Coke variant, making flavors that people could engage with, whether it was from space or also Marshmallow the DJ. If you thought it was a food, no, it was a DJ.
Coca-Cola CEO James Quincey at the World Economic Forum in Davos, sharing Coke's big AI ideas.
This year, 2024, it's about, can we turn cool ideas into ideas at scale? Can this generative AI really operate at massive scale?
How tech will deliver for Coke shareholders and for its consumers, of which there are many.
I am addicted. I'm an addict of aha.
It's a very competitive industry.
How AI could supercharge marketing. Plus, heading a company whose products are sold in almost every single country, James Quincey knows a thing or two about inflation.
The main kind of developed economies is moderating substantially, both on the input side and in the marketplace, and it's kind of coming down in expectations.
Thank goodness. Some of us just can't live without it.
I love it so much, but it doesn't love me in terms of me being fat.
I'm CNBC producer Cameron Costa. Squawk Pod reports from Davos Coca-Cola CEO James Quincey begins right now. Another day, another interview from the World Economic Forum in chilly, snowy Davos.
You wearing some thermals?
I got some thermals and we got a lot of guests.
So far, we've brought 10 interviews from our set in the Alps to your Squawk Pod feed. And we're still going. This next one is a fun one. It's Coca-Cola.
Coke Zero is good, actually.
I still like regular Coke.
I like Diet Coke.
CEO James Quincey swung by our set amid the many events of this year's World Economic Forum, and we had a lot to ask. First up, inflation. For 2 years, Coca-Cola had been raising prices on its drinks to keep up with higher input costs. But in July of last year, Coke finally announced it was done hiking prices, at least in developed markets like the US and Europe. Coke isn't the only beverage company navigating this inflationary environment, obviously. In a headline that captured our attention last week, European grocery Carrefour is no longer selling Pepsi products.
Tostitos, Doritos.
Yeah, all the toes.
It was a spat over Pepsi's price hikes, and now Carrefour customers are out of luck. But back to Coca-Cola. CEO James Quincey sat down with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin this week in Switzerland.
James, pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Great to be back.
We have so much to talk about, but let's start with those points. Just what's happened with inflation, where things have headed. Consumers have been willing to pay up for quite a while. You took the price hikes when you needed to deal with the inflation, the higher costs that you were dealing with. But you consciously chose to step back from that. How are things going right now?
Things are good. I think you're seeing a little divergence in the inflation story. What I mean by that is the main kind of developed economies is moderating substantially, both on the input side and in the marketplace. And it's kind of coming down in expectations towards a landing zone that's much more normal. And we'll be back to our core strategy, which is earning the right to take price with our marketing and innovation. And on the two kind of extremes of the thing, you still got a number, given we operate everywhere, of very high inflation countries that are not really getting better. And there are some countries where inflation is arguably too low and they're kind of borderline, need a bit more inflation. But the main story is moderating inflation, coming into the landing zone, back to the classic story of earning the right for pricing.
There has been this big story that's blown up between your competitor Pepsi and Carrefour, where they said, forget it, we're not going to put any Pepsi products on our shelves anymore because we don't like the price hikes that have come through. What do you deal with suppliers? Have you had any of those same kind of pushbacks or issues?
When we deal with our own suppliers, we have a very long-standing approach, which is to go for very long-term relationships. Mm-hmm. So we like given our size, we like to get long-term security of supply. That's our number one problem, is getting enough. We get long-term pricing agreements, and then we layer on hedging. So we very much smooth out the cycle. So we don't tend to go up very quickly, and we don't tend to crash back down. And we like the idea of seeing the cycle through. It really helps us stabilize our business. Which is why we're not so spiky on pricing. And it's a deliberate approach.
And as a result, you have not dealt with any of these same sort of situations?
Of course. In different countries, in different environments, there can be a more or less friction with some of our retail partners. But in the end, we come back to our strategy, which is to earn the right to the pricing. And our story to retailers is we can grow the beverage business faster than their total business. And we, given our leadership and our innovation market, we'll grow faster within that. And that's a positive story for them. They need their economics to work too.
I love how you are using artificial intelligence, even with your innovation too. Can you explain to people how you are using it, even when it comes to new tastes and flavors?
Yeah, I think it all falls in the bucket of seeing what sort of cool stuff you can do in 2023. Come on to 2024. We've used artificial intelligence to design a Coke drink, a Coke variant. We had a program called Coke Creations, still have a program called Coke Creations, which is about making flavors that people could engage with, whether it was from space or also Marshmallow the DJ. If you thought it was a food, no, it was a DJ. And then artificial intelligence designed a version, which was cool and very engaging for people. I think the challenge now, as we take those sort of applications of drinks, and we had a program at Christmas where you could make a Coke Christmas card with AI. You could tell it what you wanted to be in the picture, and it'd make a Christmas card for you. And we put them up on Times Square, thousands of them. Next year, this year, 2024, it's about, can we turn cool ideas into ideas at scale? Can this generative AI really operate at massive scale? I think that's the next.
In terms of creating actual drinks? And the question I was going to ask is, are those drinks so much fundamentally different than something that, you know, your team would come up with in a room?
They were different. I'm not sure they're fundamentally different.
Right.
They were engaging and it was a bit of fun. I think that generative AI needs to demonstrate that it can operate at scale, because it could make a profound difference in the marketing industry as it moves.
But more on marketing than on coming up with the next drink and flavor profile that no one ever thought of, but somehow the AI figured out.
Never say never, but I think it's much more likely to be the marketing than the drinks.
Because you trust your gut when it comes to the actual product?
No, I just think there's less room. I mean, there's more creativity possible when you're creating an image or a story or text than there is on a physical taste profile. Variants tend to be
James,
nuanced.
James, watching the over the years, we own bottlers, we don't own bottlers, we got shelf space, we don't. Can't you use AI just to absolutely maximize the profits from logistically on how everything operates? Can't you? Isn't it a more effective way to do that? Or
absolutely.
It's possible? Yeah.
Absolutely. As you start to get more compute power and more data available, lots of companies, including ourselves, including big tech companies, they have data in different pockets that are not talking to each other. But with these overlays that take all the dirty data sources that are not standardized, you can now start to layer on really good predictive selling that works out from the consumer back what everything should be in the supply chain. So that optimization is coming and is a big piece of what needs. We
what
see
about,
it affecting.
Uh-huh.
I have to have a very selfish question. James knows.
I don't even know.
I am addicted. Addicted. I'm an addict of AHA, which is his flavored seltzer water. For lack of a better word, bubbly water, right?
Uh-huh.
And they were competing against bubbly on the PepsiCo side and all the other folks that are now doing sparkling water.
Poland Springs.
I love the AHA, the orange grapefruit.
Yes,
you say it's a tough business, the sparkling water business. I thought it would be the greatest, highest margin business you could have, because what is it? It's just the water sparkled up a little bit.
There are some consumers like yourself that love it, unfortunately.
But there's not enough of us.
And it's a very competitive industry.
So what's supposed to happen here?
We're going to keep trying. We're going to keep reinventing. We've pushed more into our Topo Chico flavored waters, bringing some flavor in there. So we will keep innovating. Our modus operandi is not to give up on the first attempt, but to keep iterating and find the space that works for us.
But I think you've been amazing, James, in looking at the portfolio and not being afraid to shut down classics like a Tab. You got rid of Odwalla, Zico Coconut Water. And those were tough decisions. I think you said at the time that you had a lot of hate mail coming your way when you decided to go ahead and phase that out. How do you decide what's worth spending time on and
what's not? I'm already starting to write my letter if this aha goes away.
AI to do it.
Yeah, look, it's about the portfolio and the optimization. And in the end, each can, each drink has to earn its right to be on the shelf. In the end, there is a physical limitation on the shelves and in the coolers. And each one needs to earn its right. And the analysis is there, whether it's the AI or the humans that do it, you can work out what should be in there. And you have to be dispassionate because in the end, you're reducing not just your own sales, right. You're reducing the retailer sales, and you're actually not giving the customer, the consumer, the choice they actually wanted. So it's the right thing to do for everyone to be a bit ruthless.
You're an engineer and you're very logical.
I still get a lot of lobbying on tab. So for all the tab lovers out there, there could be a moment with a special run.
If I could get like Steve Schwartzman to go in with me to buy AHA, could we do a deal?
We could always do a deal.
You're willing to divest AHA at this point.
Well, I was going to make a special run for you and Steve.
Oh, okay.
Well, we'll definitely need Steve Schwartzman to go in with you on that.
Like I might not. I could probably do it on my own, given what he's saying about the business.
Diet Coke is how much bigger than regular Coke? The Coke Classic, how much bigger is it?
It's smaller. In the U.S.,
is it still small? I love it so much, but it doesn't love me in terms of me being fat.
We've been improving Coke Zero. I'm going to convince you Coke Zero is the way to go.
I know. I've had Coke Zero. I love regular Coke. It's because of the sugar part of it, I think.
But I have both.
Don't feel well, you feel a little. I mean, it's like a curative almost. We have to have some.
Magic elixir.
It is. We have to have some in the house. We have to because I need a regular so it's still bigger than diet. Is it bigger than zero?
In a few countries are Coke Zero and diet bigger than regular Coke, like the UK for example.
Amazing,
but a lot of people drink both. Coke Original all day long. I'll have a Coke Original in the afternoon. I'll have a Coke Zero in the evening. So people dualize. A lot of people dualize.
Can I pivot? You're one of the biggest marketing spenders in the world in terms of just advertising budget. How has that changed? We keep talking about social media here and also AI in terms of how marketing is going to change. But are you seeing certain platforms working in certain ways and others not working the way that you used to think they were working?
Clearly, over the last 20 years, there's two really big things that have definitely happened from the point of view of a marketeer of big brands.
Right.
I'm not trying to sell a car in Minnesota to the people in Minnesota. I'm trying to sell a big brand across a large space. One was the squeeze down of paper advertising that went digital.
Right.
That was the first big thing over the last 20 years. You look at a mix of advertising, TV was fine, digital eliminated newspapers. Now, streaming / social media platforms are squeezing radio and TV. They're not completely done, but it's there. Of course, one of the things that we do as a marketer, it's not just about where are the consumers, but it's what price is being charged. So for us, the trade-off is not just which platform is more effective, but what are they charging me for it? And so they are in a competitive dynamic.
But right now, are you saying that Facebook and Instagram are the game? Do you think that TikTok is the game? Do you think Google is the game? Do you think Amazon, with its new streaming, and now that they're placing advertising on that, is that interesting to you all of a sudden? Peacock or obviously owned by Comcast, NBC. But how do you think about advertising in these new ways?
I start from who do I want to reach and what's the most cost-effective way to get there?
So who is is there one that you go, these guys actually are offering us the greatest rate right now?
No, it's competitive. I mean, they're all bidding and they're all competing against each other in semi-real
time. How about X, Twitter?
That was not a big platform for us because it was not a big TV platform. It's not a big commercial video type platform. It was always historically a text platform.
James, something you guys can't control, obviously, Forex moves, but they matter greatly to the company because of all the operations you have outside the United States. What do you see happening in 2024 now that the Fed is probably going to start cutting rates, or at least that's the expectation?
Man, I wish I knew the answer to that one. I'd probably be a lot richer. I could buy the drinks myself. Look, Forex is very important for us. We make over 75% of the profits outside the US. And as the world economy has grown, the importance of the emerging markets has gone up a lot for us. Mm-hmm. And so not all these currencies are hedgeable. We certainly do hedge and we start to spread out. I think we're likely at the moment to see a bit more stability in the marketplace. That's certainly what's happened so far this year. Long-term period of dollar strengthening. I think it's all going to be who goes down when on interest rates is going to make a big bit of the difference. But we'll have a hedge program. And you know, we've committed to our investors that we'll find a way to grow the earnings of the company while we manage the Forex.
Is that bottle still back there?
Yeah.
Get it out.
Oh, wait, it's down here, actually.
It's a, I mean, it's a beautiful.
It is pretty.
It's
this
a
one has
beautiful
Swiss
thing.
Say.
I mean, it really is. And it's American and everything. I love it.
No, it's not Swiss. It's got a Swiss.
No, it's American made.
James, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank
it's
you.
Great to see you. We really
thank
appreciate
you.
Your time. James Quincy.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until...
That presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
Unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools. I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com. Designed for work.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Thank you for listening to this special Squawk Pod Reports from Davos. We really do have so many interviews filmed in the snowy Alps and packaged specifically for you, our listeners, waiting in your feed. Please go check them out. Squawk Box is hosted by Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin. And Squawk Pod is produced by me, Cameron Costa, Katie Kramer, and Caroline Rohodes. John Lazaration is our editor. Have a great day.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cause support may be available.